Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In 1992, Chuck Anderson sat down with Hazel Mahone. Hazel was a granddaughter of slaves. Her personal history inspired a lifetime of making the world a more beautiful place. Chuck Anderson joins us now from Huron. Hi, Chuck. Welcome back.
Good morning, Lori, and good morning, South Dakota.
Good morning, South Dakota. Tell us a little bit about Hazel. How did you meet her? She lived in Huron then?
Yes. I've known Hazel Mahone most of my life, a wonderful, wonderful woman. And it was in the sixth grade when I started attending church, the church services besides Sunday school. And Hazel was the outstanding soloist with the Huron Church Choir. Oh, man, she was good. And she attended so many of the youth programs that we had, and you got to know her really well. And she was an advocate of young people, and it was a pleasure to be around her. But before I interviewed her, Lori, I had this political correctness problem. I didn't know. I knew her my whole life, and I loved her, and I didn't want to offend her by calling her some name that isn't in right now. So I says to Hazel, I says, "Now, how will I refer to you? Are we American Negroes?" And Hazel says, "I'm an American Negro, and that's what I want to be called."
She didn't like being called black because she said there's just no black people. There's all different shades. That's kind of
exactly
where she was coming
at. Said.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
And she said to me, says, "And you're not white. You're pink or rosy or tan." She had a marvelous sense of humor. Yeah. I knew her until she passed away in 1910. And I used to go over quite often to the place where she was staying and visit with her. And I could just, she just reeked of philosophy and wisdom and knowledge because she had traveled 86 countries in her lifetime.
All right. So we're going to play a little clip here. And here she is talking about the difficulty in tracing genealogy and sort of where she came from and the challenges there.
Yes.
What name did your grandmother go by on your mother's side?
Oh, on my mother's side, my grandmother was a Shackelford, because those were the people that she lived with most of her life. She was not sold like my grandfather, of course.
Was that right?
She was not sold. She stayed within the household where she was practically born. You know, many slaves lived, and their masters were very kind to them. They practically loved them. But you know, really, some people do not realize the value that the slaves made the South wealthy, because they worked for nothing on the little clothing and food and shelter. Mm-hmm. And there, many of them were very fine craftsmen and knowledgeable people, because they built these wonderful plantations under the supervision of others. But they had talent. They really did. I think more field slaves were sold and traded off than house slaves. But you took the name, usually, of your master, and that's what happened.
It's just so hard for me, Hazel, to think of being bought and sold as a commodity, as like something at Kmart. I don't believe that I'll ever be able to have that kind of empathy. Can you remember any of the things that your grandmother or your grandfather would say about that? Was there deep resentment of being sold like a bale of cotton?
Well, I'm sure there was, and there was lots of hatred, because many families' children were snatched away from their parents. You saw this in Ruth. Lots of husbands and wives were separated.
Yes.
If the male man was big and strong and somebody wanted to buy him. And you know, they had bills of lading, sale bills for every slave. On the record, you can go back and look at them. That's what Alex Haley traced. See, the slave, and even when they were brought over from Africa, they were listed. They had a number, not a name, but they just like cargo is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
They know what was on the ships that are being located now, and the same with the slave.
This is Chuck Anderson talking with Hazel Mahone from Huron, a conversation in 1992. You can hear the whole conversation on our website today. A very humbling conversation, Chuck, to sit down and talk about being bought and sold as a human being.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah. Did you have to sort of process when it was over personally? Did you have to sort of sit with this conversation for a while?
And the fact that her grandmother really thought that her master was very kind to her. I just thought that was incredible. A lot of times, like, her grandfather got in a little trouble. And I guess that he forgot to water the horses one day or something. So the master says, you're going to get a beating. And, you know, with these whips, with the cat o' nine tails, and they really stung. Well, he had gotten several before, and he says, not this time, to himself. And he packed up his little tiny belongings that he had. He put them in a knapsack, and he went AWOL. I guess that's a Marine Corps term there.
That's right.
He went AWOL. He headed that night straight north. For 30 days, he wandered through the forest and the places that he wasn't aware of. And what was unusual, he got to St. Louis, and the first place that he went, according to Hazel, was the Army barracks. And he enlisted in the United States Army.
Wow.
And they turned around and sent him right back as a soldier to fight the people that had been enslaving him.
Oh, let's listen to Hazel tell that story as well. It's such a good one.
One of your relatives, can you remember which one that was, his name? What happened?
That was my grandfather, I think, that you were referring to, my mother's father. He was a slave, as you said, and they had accused him of not fulfilling a chore like watering the horses or something, and this happened to be on Sunday, and they said that they were going to whip him, but he had been beaten several times, but he made up his mind Sunday night that he was not going to ever be beaten again. So he prepared a little knapsack and sharpened some kind of tool. I can't remember what he said. And then he escaped into the woods. And as far as he could remember, he thought he was in the backwoods 30 days or more, working his way from the deep south. He was in Mississippi. And he reached the Union barracks in St. Louis. And there he joined the Union Army.
A little ironic twist in the story.
Yeah. This unit that he was in, the interesting thing about that, during the war exploits, they went back to the south, the very area where he met my grandmother, this house slave that we were talking about.
Yes.
Saw her on a porch, practically fell in love with her, and was determined that he was going back to get that lady. And he did, and there were three ex-slaves that were in the Union Army that went back to the South and married ladies and brought them up to Missouri, a little town between Kansas City and St. Louis called Boonville. And that's where they settled, cleared the woods, established their families. And from these three families, they produced 64 children.
Wow.
One had, I think, 24 or 5 children. And 122, but my mother comes from a family of 16, and my grandfather was quite an interesting man, a little fellow, and very powerful, very determined, and could not read or write, but he established a little church for the black community in Boonville, and today there's a little creek that runs through there named after him. His name was Simpson. And that was named after him.
What a treasure of a conversation, Chuck, that you got these stories.
What a lovely lady. Yeah. I loved her. And I used to, when I became a freshman in high school, then I got to be in the senior choir. Mm. And I was a tenor and she was an alto, and I sat just two seats away from her. And, she was just brilliant.
This particular conversation is sort of wildly popular online, and all your conversations do very well on the internet. What do you think it is about, you know, a conversation way back from 1992 that folks are still drawn to today and really want to listen to? Can you put that into some kind of perspective for us?
Well, you're very kind, Lori. Thank you very much. I think all of us like to hear a story of how people have won against incredible odds and how they did it. In a way, it's an inspiration for all of us, and such stories are timeless and just as relevant today as they were 20 or 50 or 100 years ago. They're authentic. And what's interesting about my shows, Lori, I think, is that they are told in the first person. It isn't a fictional story that someone's reading or made up. It's a true account by the people who lived it. And I have in my mind right now that some examples, like Cheryl Ladd worked odd jobs in Hollywood for 7 years before she got her first break. Ted Spaulding worked on the docks on the West Coast before he survived the infamous Bataan Death March, mm-hmm. then retired a hero, an army general, and a successful businessman. And Baxter Black cut hair and made belts for a living before he became a vet, then a world-famous radio and television star, and most appropriate right now, Laura Ingalls Wilder had to endure hardships and poverty in order to become a world-famous author. And I just hope, Lori, that none of, since none of them gave up, I hope that none of our listeners right now ever give up, because success is, as they say, just around the corner.
Let's talk, let's hear a little bit from Hazel about how she created her business. We've got one more clip for you.
Yes.
We've got you down to Sioux Falls. You finished the school on cosmetology. Then what happened?
Well, I came back. You see, I had been to Huron College for two years, and I thought I was going down to Blossom, Alabama to teach. But I found out through some knowledgeable people that it really wasn't for me. I knew nothing about the South. Many of the I would have been in a rural school. Most of my students would have been bigger than I and rougher than, and they advised me not to go down. That's why I chose cosmetology, thinking I could do that and then go back and get my degree. But I never did. Well, anyway, I worked for Mrs. Roselle for three years, and then her health failed.
Here in Huron.
Yes, here in Huron. Her health failed, but she thought an awful lot of me, and she taught me things that were not in books. What I really, how to handle people, and the dignity that you, and well, things that just aren't in books. Well, when she passed, they found a will, and she had left me her little shop. Now, this sounds wonderful, and it was, but there wasn't much there. But it was a springboard for me to start.
It was a start.
It was a start. And that's how I stayed. It was in the Masonic Temple, and I had nothing to start with, only makeshift. But the people that were in that building were very kind to me, a McClaskey and Dr. Horton and the Kewans and all people that had been there. And they said, go ahead, we'll go along with your program. And they did for a long time. And in about 6-8 months, my clientele built up. And at one, and before I left there, I had 6 operators at one time.
Wow.
Very, very fine. And so, and stayed in that business for about almost 48 years.
Broadcaster Chuck Anderson talking with Hazel Mahone. You can find the full conversation on our website, listen.sdpb.org. Chuck, thank you so much for this, and we'll see you next time.
A privilege. Thank you, Lori.